Welcome, Creechies.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Garrett. Alan is out of his house today.
Indisposed, you might say.
So, we're going to bring you the first episode of the new year with just the two of us.
It's new year, two men.
After our holiday break. Our unintended holiday break.
The incidental holiday break.
Yep. We have a grab bag. I found some suitable garbage to sift through.
You know, before we begin the grab bag, let me just ask you, Garrett, how did you enjoy your holiday break?
I worked.
I also sort of worked. I don't want to be a massive complainer, but we only had Christmas Day off, and we went home early Christmas Eve, but I'm positive that was only because continuing to work became inconvenient, that it was frustrating to be at work, and so my boss was like, yeah, never mind, we're going home.
I got good holiday pay, so.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, and I got a bonus at work, but it was, you know, it was nice spending time with family anyway.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
Well, that's not completely true. You have, you know, plenty of found family, Garrett.
That's fair.
Plenty of people who care about you and want to know how you're doing.
Well, enough of that. today's first grab bag. What the fuck is this? I'm getting an ad for now hiring, apply for the Riverside Sheriff's Department.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's because I told Google that they're not allowed to have my location settings.
Oh, so it just doesn't know what's up?
Doesn't know where I am. They're guessing.
It's just trying. Yeah.
Today's first grab bag creature, Black Flash, also known as the Providencetown Phantom and the Devil of the Dunes.
The Providencetown Phantom.
When I first saw Black Flash, I'm like, I didn't know that the Grim Reaper of the Speed Force was.
Yeah, I was also curious about that.
With the Black Flash, Providencetown Phantom, and Devil of the Dunes was a bizarre entity encountered many times, mostly by children, in Providencetown, Massachusetts, throughout 1939.
You're telling me they got dunes in Massachusetts? Oh, well, I guess at the beach. They got a beach there, right?
Yes, they yeah, right? The Boston Tea Party, they needed a harbor, right?
Yeah, I'm looking right now.
Or West Coast people.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird New England areas that have strange coastlines. I'm looking right now. Okay, yeah. They're on that side of it. I genuinely couldn't remember which side of New York they were on. I know that sounds ridiculous. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure maybe they're on the Great Lakes. No.
We went to some dunes when I was in North Carolina.
Oh, well, yeah. The Carolinas are famous for their beach.
Yep.
You know, that's where the Wright brothers made their flight.
Fuck
right?
The Wright brothers.
Kitty Hawk. You may be a Wright denier.
I don't deny enjoyer. Them. I just fucking hate them.
That's fair.
Because their museum sucks.
Well, that's scarcely their fault.
Be more interesting.
They couldn't have. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that's also an issue of time, Garrett. I mean, because at the time, they were probably the most interesting guys basically ever. But even then, actually, it's kind of funny to think because 200 years before them, they probably wouldn't have been that interesting either. They hit it exactly the right time. It was like, what? Manned powered air flight? What?
Scoff.
Well, you know, like I said, 200 years ago, people would have been like, yeah, we got a lot of hot air balloon and glider technology. We're kind of good. And then now, obviously, who cares? We're on the cusp of hover cars at this point.
Oh, God.
Well, you want to drive a hover car, Garrett? Back to the Future style?
I'll wait 20 years until they're not pumping out beta hover cars.
Oh,
I just saw an
gosh.
Ad for the new electric BMW, and there's it was it's not the first electric car, because a BMW doesn't hit the road until it meets our criteria.
Wow, what a way to spin your lateness to the party.
Yeah. So he lurked around Provincetown, jumping at people, laughing maniacally, an eluding pursuit with extreme agility and speed. Witnesses would report seeing the Black Flash in one location, and a minute later, another report would come in of sightings across town. And then
maybe there's two of them.
This little tiny sentence. Black Flash is very similar to Springheel Jack.
Oh, maybe it is the same guy.
Like, Obscurbin has their little tag, their thing on the side. Type, being.
Okay.
Continent, North America. Country, United States. One time, no. Theories, interdimensional being, hoax.
I mean, it is. I looked at the map. Providence Town is right on the Cape Cod Bay, for anybody who's interested. It's kind of an interesting little shape that kind of comes out and around and pokes back in. So it, like, is staring right at Plymouth Rock. So this is, like, the heart of New England. So it's really interesting. There's a monster that's, like, right there.
It's also, like, I don't know. That seems, there's monsters everywhere.
I guess that's true. I'm just, like, I'm doing my best to dig some interest out of this monster.
Well, the Black Flash was described as an impossibly tall, impossibly fast, human-like creature who dressed in all black with a black face, pointed ears, and silver eyes. According to witnesses, the Black Flash was also made a loud buzzing sound.
You're telling me there was a wasp in New England?
In blackface.
Well, I mean, this checks out. Everything about this makes a lot of sense. People are saying this is a hoax. I don't believe it.
Notable encounters. One October night, as Miss Costa walked by Town Hall, an inhumanly tall figure dressed all in black jumped out in front of her from behind some bushes. He had glowing blue eyes, big silver ears, and the ability to jump like a gazelle. Costa ran into a coffee shop screaming, and several men inside ran down Commercial Street looking for the apparition but found nothing. The police apparently chuckled after taking a statement from the visibly shaken Costa.
I said, yeah, right.
And apparently the source is the Provincetown magazine.
Mm. You know, when you were describing this encounter,
when I click the link to the Provincetown magazine, it says, page doesn't seem to exist.
Oh, they got to them too. And the sighting was in 1939?
Throughout 1939, yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, because my thought was like colonial pilgrim times at first. That was the image that I conjured up in my mind as you were describing this. And then you said coffee shop, and I said, what? Oh, yeah, 1939.
The police believed the Black Flash was the work of practical jokers. Chief Anthony Taverns exclaimed he knew the identity of the hoaxers, but he declined to name them. The Black Flash is dead and buried, he once said.
What?
Fucking murdered those kids.
I guess so. This is the last prank you're going to pull on me, trying to knock out old ladies and stuff?
Just spooking old women?
I'll teach you to glue a cell phone to the ground.
There are several explanations as to what the creature could be. There's two listed here.
There are literally pairs of them.
An interdimensional entity, or a normal but creepy human being.
You know, it's funny. I'm pretty sure it's that one. I don't even think it's a hoax. I think it's just a weird guy, and it freaked a woman out.
Right.
Because I could definitely see an above average height man just hopping down the road.
All right, here's another weird one. Let's go with the Hipper Bompreco Self-Immolator.
Hipper Bompreco. That's an astounding collection of sounds.
Yep.
Where is this from?
Well, the Hipper Bompreco Self-Immolator was an entity seen by several witnesses on August 20th, 2019. A Redditor named Pedro Findagrave posted a message into the Unsolved Mystery subreddit saying if there were virtual witnesses to the incident. Type being, continent South America, Brazil, one time, yes. Theories, mental illness. Let's
What was the guy's name?
Pedro Findagrave.
That is simply astounding.
I mean, that's, like I said, it's a Redditor named. That's clearly his username.
I'm looking to see if there's a birth certificate.
I remember being told by a friend of mine here in Brazil that on the day of the Rio, that...
Go on.
Hold on, I have to zoom in. My eyes are deceiving me. Oh god, now I zoomed in too much. The Rio Niterói bridge? Bus kidnapping?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm going back down to 100%. On the day of that bus kidnapping, incident of darker nature happened in Olinda, but I can't find no news of the incident. What happened was, according to him, a teenager aged around 15 to 19 put a newspaper around his groin, he was wearing shorts, set it on fire, and then ran into the Hipper Bumpreco Mall while on fire and defecating his parentheses, his shorts were lowered by the time he entered the mall, defecating all the place as he appeared to have diarrhea. He then escaped without a guard capturing him or even attempting to run after him. There were several witnesses. I attempted to search the incident in Google search, and believe me, I couldn't find a single snippet about it. Even a mention. I could find all the results I got was this news, that is all in Spanish. The entire sentence just goes into Spanish. He couldn't find nothing.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking on the way back, like Reddit, to read some of this myself.
Please, if someone in Atlanta witnessed this incident, please comment because I'm worried for this boy.
This is a crazy story.
I just picked it for the name. Man, that, I didn't even know about all the diarrhea.
Yeah, no, this is crazy. Oh, yeah, that link is dead. Yeah, no, that is... Couldn't find anything on Google about it. The most interesting thing I found about this is apparently Bompreço. I think it's Bompreço, not Bompreco. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't speak Portuguese either.
Yeah.
But it's like...
I do love Portuguese sausage, though.
It is Brazilian Walmart, literally, like its own... It's Walmart in Brazil.
That's beautiful.
And it means good price.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I don't know. That, like, this is wild.
Demolition elves.
I just want to say that the top comment on old Reddit is, you think this is of darker nature than a bus kidnapping? five question marks. and then it says, probably because the bus kidnapping only claimed the kidnapper's life, who apparently suffered from mental illness and didn't have access to health care. It was nerve-wracking, but sadly, given Rio's daily violent incidents, the whole bus kidnapping thing felt like nothing to us. And then the response, terrible laugh at, the response to that is, darker color, ellipses, and in parentheses, ed, and then more ellipses, undies.
I mean, if something like the bus kidnapping is... just become like an everyday thing, like yeah, that's kind of fucked up and funny.
Yeah, it's worth laughing at. Oh, but
demolition elves.
Yeah, demolition elves.
Demolition elves is a name given to global apparitions of the diminutive beings seen directly before or after mass disasters, resembling creatures of European folklore like gnomes and pixies. They are. Anytime I see or like hear about pixies, I just think about the Picts.
Really?
Because the mythological creature pixies is based on the Picts, the weird British like barbarian people who painted themselves blue.
Yeah, they're like pre-Normans.
Yeah,
they're the woad guys. They're like Celtic peoples.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so like I'm thinking of like, oh, a little gnome, and then there's just big burly naked dude painted blue.
The true gnome. Well, I mean, just like giants being anywhere from 5 to thousands of feet tall, you know, pixies are anywhere from 0 to 5 feet tall, I guess.
They are sometimes seen in conjunction with more contemporary phenomena such as UFOs. They've allegedly been sighted worldwide on significant occasions, seen by multiple people at a time. In the United States, demolition elf folklore is relegated to the fringes of the historical record, according only in urban legends and in paranormal authors' accounts of events such as the Silver Bridge collapse and the collapse of the Twin Towers. I didn't know all those guys, all those pixies and gnomes hijacked those flights.
Oh no, that explains why it looked like controlled demolition
magic.
This checks out, actually. So yeah, it wasn't jet fuel. So, what melted steel beams? Well, it was us.
So, okay, so speaking of the jet fuel can't melt steel beams. Sure. A bunch of years ago, last podcast did their 9/11 series.
Yes.
And Marcus had to not include pages and pages of like math and other bullshit because it'd just be boring.
Sure.
But jet fuel may not be able to burn hot enough to melt steel beams, but like floors and floors of stored paper.
Yeah.
Can.
Yeah. It's frustrating because like as such a, like a meme phrase that's become ingrained in the collective unconscious at this point, it just like kind of misses the point of a lot of building collapse.
Yeah.
And yeah, like a building being on fire for several hours wouldn't even need to melt steel beams to significantly weaken them.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to melt them to anneal them. Like if you've ever even briefly looked into metallurgy or like smithing at all, you'd kind of know that.
Yeah.
I've seen people conduct experiments like that, like literally just putting I-beams over paper fires for 2 hours and getting like hundreds of pounds of weight to bend them.
Yeah. Like, and there were rooms and rooms and rooms just full of crates of paper because it was 2001. We didn't have like super.
Yeah. We hadn't even begun to start digitizing.
Yeah.
That's to say nothing of like the impact damage. Like there's a lot of issues with the general public perception of 9/11 as
well. Yeah.
Not to mention all of the genuine shadiness surrounding it.
Those episodes, I highly suggest those 9/11 episodes.
Yeah.
Like they're really, really good and well-researched. Even the like episodes at the end where they go into all the occult meaning.
Yes.
But like, one part that stuck with me is something that, like, Marcus, in that episode, he was watching a lot of footage, and there's, like, a beeping sound, like, every now and then you'd hear, which is a device on firefighters that starts beeping when they're immobile after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Which is just because of them, like, trapped in, like, rubble and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, like, he said it haunted his dreams while researching that.
Yeah, it was a crazy event. That's something, it's so interesting to think that there are, like, adults now who, like, weren't, like, post-date 9/11.
Yeah.
This is wild.
In Iceland, elves are recognized as legal presences with a right to a territory and a voice in regional development, which is true.
In Iceland.
Yes, that is actually true. If they find, like, a fairy mound, like, you know, the ring of, like, mushrooms or, yeah, like, they will divert, like, road construction or other shit.
I mean, I like the idea of, you never know.
Yeah. The elves are associated with certain rocks, which must not be moved or touched. In the past, it just says it right here, too. In the past, construction work that went ahead, despite elf sightings and warnings from seers, have met with catastrophe.
That's such an awesome job. Like, oh, it's your job, government psychic.
I'm the seer for this this county.
I mean, I know, you know, in the U.S. we have that unofficially, you know, off the record, but still, you know.
Yeah.
One of several government psychics.
I'm just a man who stares at goats. They are described as being small humanoid figures with a fairy tale sensibility.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Often described in miniature clothes and pointed hats.
They wear a lot of tunics and stuff, kind of beanied out of their minds. You know? just a touch whimsical.
Is that one a fucking knight?
you write with a quill instead of a pen. Fairy tale sensibility. Eat a lot of, you got a very mushroom heavy diet.
Hell yeah. That's how you see them.
That actually makes sense.
They congregate at scenes of disaster, often seen examining wreckage, or appear to forewarn disaster. Although most often seen at large-scale tragedies, witnessed by huge crowds, reports of the elves differ from person to person. Some describe them as more like gray aliens, or as human-sized. Others as inorganic, potentially robotic in nature.
What?
I mean, just people see shit what they want to see.
Well, I think that's definitely true.
Yeah, like the quote unquote phenomena shows itself to you as what you can comprehend. Like, if you're a weird sci-fi guy, you see an alien. If you're like hyper religious, you'll see an angel. If you're a hippie, you'll see Bigfoot.
Interesting.
Yeah, possible. Oh no, now let me go for the notable encounters before we get to those explanations.
Yeah, because I got to see what these notable encounters are.
All right, I'll read the first one. The second one, I'll. Second one is the Silver Bridge, like Mothman.
Yeah.
I'll start with the second one, the West Virginia. John Keel recorded a sighting of demolition elves climbing the Silver Bridge days, appearing. Hold on. Yeah, this is fucking me up. Climbing the Silver Bridge days, comma, appearing to be working on it with hammers and strange tools, period. Days later, the bridge collapsed.
So they're saying they're saying not only was he just there, they straight up just did it.
Oh no, the part that's fucking me up is the word days is included where it shouldn't be.
Oh, it's a typo.
Yeah, it says John Keel recorded the sighting of demolition elves climbing the Silver Bridge days, comma, appearing to be working on it with hammers and strange tools, period. Days later, it shouldn't be Silver Bridge days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid.
But he saw it climbing the bridge and working on it with tools and hammers.
Apparently a bunch of them. Yeah, that's weird.
And then it collapsed.
Days later.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Like, this guy is alleging that they just straight up did it. They did the Silver Bridge collapse.
Well, it's John Keel.
Wait, which one is John Keel?
He is the author of Mothman Prophecy, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But he's not the guy who said he met with Indrid Cold, right?
That is him.
Okay, he is the guy. He was just the guy that wrote about it. Okay. So hold on. So he said, I mean, is the implication then that like Indrid Cold is a gnome? is a demolition elf?
Indrid Cold like is just like kind of around at the same time. He's not.
Well, I thought he was like a Man in Black kind of thing.
Kinda, but like he was around like afterwards. And like in leading up to, but not ever like on the bridge with fucking tools and construction crew.
Well, I sure.
Let me keep reading this fucking paragraph.
Okay.
Days later, the bridge collapsed, a tragedy which Keel felt was directly linked to the elf sighting. I've also never heard. I'm with it when it comes to like Mothman bullshit. I've never heard anything about any no elves leading up to this shit.
Especially, that's what I'm saying. This is the first I've heard of this.
Especially when it's like from anywho. Let's see. Elf sighting and other strange It should be all this should be capital N in bold. And other strange phenomena in the preceding months.
Yeah, because like, I mean, is he just suggesting that Mothman is a gnome?
Maybe.
That'd be some crazy business. What's another strange sighting of a demolition?
Hold on,
man?
This I'm like a third, not I'm like a fourth of the way through this paragraph.
Okay,
it's like the next part is like after talking about how long it took to recover. They recovered 38 bodies. Several other people went missing and were never heard from again. Assumed they went down at the bridge. Number of UFO witnesses were among the dead. I talked to a woman who lives right by the bridge, Mary. She says that 2 days ago she saw two men climbing the bridge. Men. Okay. Climbing on it? Yes. They were walking across and climbing on blah, blah, blah. Was she able to describe them? They were wearing checkered coats and black trousers. She couldn't see their faces too well because they were so far away. But she did notice their shoes. They weren't wearing boots. Just ordinary shoes. She thought it was odd because of me wearing... What? Oh, the... She thought that was odd because of me, whether we'd been having.
What, like...
This is just bullshit.
These people cannot type these things.
Let's see if this one's better. Iceland, in the 1970s. Plans to move a rock out of the way in one major road went awry when a bulldozer inadvertently crushed a water pipe, feeding a fish farm. Some 70,000 trout perished overnight, and there were so many other freakish accidents in the following days that the project was abandoned. One workman claims to have been stricken with bad luck ever since. There are many stories of machines breaking down and workers becoming ill when they interfere with elf rocks. That, it, like I said, that's just a thing in Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Possible explanations. Mass hysteria / hallucinations brought on by shock. An interdimensional travenal. Traveler. Why can't I say
travenal, you say?
Extraterrestrials. Culturally significant visionary experiences. Robots.
Robots in disguise.
I'm really sad that one of them wasn't a fallen angel, so he can't play the Pitbull
thing. Well, you, it's okay. You can play it.
No, it's not on the soundboard anymore.
Oh.
I have to, like, re-put it on when I had to, like, get the new SD card.
One day, Pitbull.
All right, I got one more.
Ooh, okay.
One more because it has four separate accounts, like, sightings on it.
Ooh, okay.
We're going to close this episode out with the Phantom Barber.
Okay. Let's see if it's the barber, the kind of barber I'm thinking.
The picture for it is the guy just like behind someone's bed with scissors cutting her hair, like while she's asleep.
Behind, like a barber like, who comes
coming
in
out
the
from
night.
Behind the headboard. Like, yeah.
Okay.
The Phantom
this
Barber.
Is the barber, I thought.
The Phantom Barber was a mysterious humanoid entity blamed for a series of nocturnal attacks that plagued the fishing town of Pascagoula, Mississippi. Also, the location of the Pascagoula creature. That's that weird alien with the pointy nose and, like, it looks like a weird, like, Robbie the Robot knockoff.
Oh, the Carrot Man.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like a robot, but it's also kind of fleshy.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that guy.
Our stuff takes place during the summer of 1942.
Okay.
Type being continent North America, country United States at one time. No. Theories criminal, extraterrestrial, mass hysteria.
It was a criminal extraterrestrial.
The criminal
comma space extraterrestrial.
I mean, it's bullet point criminal, bullet point extraterrestrial, bullet point mass hysteria.
Okay.
Witness Mary Evelyn Briggs later described the man as, quote, sort of short, sort of fat, and he was wearing a white sweatshirt.
Okay.
Notable account number one. His reign of terror began on Friday, June 5th, 1942, when young Mary Evelyn Briggs and Edna Marie Heidel at the Our Lady of Victory's convent were shocked to find a man climbing out of their bedroom window. The two girls were unarmed, although each of them was missing a lock of hair.
I mean, this sounds 100% real. Like, this is just something that happened. Yeah. I have zero skepticism of any of this.
The barber struck again on Monday at PD home? P-E-A-T-T-I-E? PD?
Piatie? I don't know.
Where he cut a slit in the window screen and crawled inside to snip hair of a little 6-year-old Carol Petey as she lay sleeping next to her twin brother. This time, the Phantom Barber accidentally left a clue. A sandy footprint near the window.
A sandy foot, like, okay.
The next incident occurred the following Friday night at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg. When the home of Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg was invaded, like before, the window screen was cut and the invader came inside. But instead,
Heidelberg?
Instead of taking his typical trophy, he used a heavy iron bar to attack the couple. True crime voice doesn't sound fun to read this anymore, even though it should fit better. Taking out some of Mrs. Heidelberg's front teeth and knocking her husband unconscious.
Ooh, okay.
Unfortunately, it all happened so quickly that neither could describe their attacker. The police deputized 6 men and brought in bloodhounds to pick up a scent. The dogs followed the trail to a pair of bloodstained gloves in the nearby woods. Ooh. But that was as far as they got. The police theorized that the assailant might have stashed a bicycle in the woods to make his escape.
Okay, that's funny.
That one fucking escalated.
Yeah, he was just like, I need hair, I need hair, I need hair. Take some pipe, I need hair.
The final attack came on Sunday night when the hair of Miss R.R. Taylor was cut. She said she had been woken up by, quote, something with a sickening smell passing over her nose. The next thing she remembered was waking up and getting violently ill. Police later determined the barber must have cut the window screen, stuck a chloroform-soaked rag over Taylor's face, and then collected his lock of hair.
A chloroform-soaked rag.
Yep.
That's crazy.
2 months after the final attack, police announced that they had arrested William Dolan, a 57-year-old chemist, for charges of attempted murder. Police claimed a huge bundle of human claim. Okay, I thought they meant claimed as in they found and, like, took possession of.
Yeah.
But no, they claimed they found a bunch of human hair behind his home. The FBI later identified... Yeah, they did. The FBI later identified some of the hair as belonging to Carol Peedle, the barber's youngest victim. Dolan was quickly found guilty of attempted murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison. 6 years later, Mississippi Governor Fielding Wright reviewed the case and asked that Dolan take a lie detector test. Upon passing, Dolan was given a limited suspended sentence and eventually set free in 51. Man, lie detector tests are so... They're not even used in court cases anymore.
Yeah.
They're just too terrible.
Too easy to fake. Man, yeah. But that was like science fiction technology at the time.
I mean, so was DNA in the fucking OJ case.
That's also true.
Which is wild to think that it was that... It was in the 90s.
Well, and I mean, like, I will say, though, I do think a lot of that was also, like, the application of the technology. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, like, we had the technology for 20 plus years.
Like, there was, like, days of the case were spent arguing, like, the court case, arguing whether they'll allow DNA evidence.
Yeah.
So, possible explanations. A human criminal.
A guy?
Yeah. A human criminal.
It's like a guy jumping in stealing hair.
Extraterrestrial. Mass hysteria.
I mean, I guess I believe all of those things.
No, this one was 100% just a fucking sicko. And probably the fucking one they arrested.
That is true.
If he had a fucking pile of hair behind his house that matched one of the victims.
He's in a mass hair graveyard. He was stuffing his mattress with it.
I can't... a pile of hair and some fucking teeth.
Jeez.
Well, that's all the grab bag boys I got today.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, some of the... the Phantom Barber was not expecting to be as interesting as it was.
Yeah, I mean, like... I just don't know how, like, you... I guess he was swinging the pipe. That's the only thing about, like... Because, yeah, I don't know. You find a random guy in your six-year-old child's bed, your six-year-old twin's bedroom, and he gets away. Like, that's astounding. But I guess he never killed anybody.
No, he just caved in that lady's mouth.
Well, that's true. And that's honestly potentially a fate worse than death.
Yep.
Wake of old.
I'm looking, because there's a bunch of, weird cases that are definitely just people.
Yeah.
Like, the one I'm looking for right now, yeah, I think we lightly covered before, the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
Yes. That's also another name.
It's also in the mid-40s, like, the same time, a little later than the Phantom. Yeah, 2 years after the Phantom, asshole. all right, I guess I can plug emendations.
Can this guy beat a hippo? None of these guys can beat a hippo, except I will say that the Demolition Elves could portend its defeat, potentially, at the hands of another monster. Yeah. I guess the Phantom Barber could show up and try to trim its hair.
Chloroform the hippo.
just imagine. What's all this hippo hair behind your house?
How the fuck you know it's hippo hair?
That's when you know they're in on it. My plug-mendation today is going to be the Fall of Civilizations podcast. I've been listening to a bunch of it. I'm a big fan of YouTube content that's like 5+ hours long, so I can just listen to like huge blocks of whatever.
Mm.
It's nice while I'm working because I have a lot of mind-numbing work to do. So usually Fall of Civilizations is one or two episodes long, covers the rise and fall of various ancient civilizations. Super interesting stuff. I've listened to Mongolia. I'm listening to Carthage, like the Phoenician Empire right now. And we were talking last night about the Eastern Roman Empire.
And also my boys, the Varangian Guard.
That's right. So I really recommend that if you're interested in historical anything, check it out. That's my plug.
I've definitely plugged hardcore history before, which yeah. doesn't need a plug. It's like one of the podcasts.
Yeah. Well, I'm not plugging anything because it needs my help. I'm just plugging it because I want it.
I know. I know. Like that, we're not big enough to help anyone. This is all just things we like. Ooh, I just shattered my knee. Yeah, no, hardcore history is also a very good history thing. Like, and maybe an episode comes out. I don't think an episode came out last year. But yeah. the episodes that come out are, like, 5+ hours long. And, like, a series will be, like, 12, not even 12, it'll be, like, 20 hours to listen to a series. Their World War II one is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, it's just very good history. What did I watch? Oh, I watched a documentary on Netflix I liked, Our Ocean.
Really?
Yeah, it took me forever to realize it was being narrated by Obama.
Really? That's yeah. not like one of the like top five most recognizable voices in the world?
I was half asleep watching some fucking seahorses like shoot out all their kids, alright?
Alright, I guess that's fair.
Yeah. I like all of the nature documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah.
Although they don't have the one of my favorite ones, the 72 most dangerous animals in Australia. They have the 72 most dangerous South America and Asia. But there's something special about that 72 most dangerous Australia. It brings up the cone snail.
Yeah, that guy doesn't mess around.
No. Well, I guess that's it. Hopefully we'll have Alan next time.
With any luck.
All right. Remember, all you need to do to be a cryptozoologist is to say you're a cryptozoologist.